Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Hello, everyone. And yes, the Big Bash starts next week. And I was just at the launch of BBL number 12. Can you believe it? We're into the 12th edition of the Big Bash. And a huge challenge ahead after a lot of criticism over the last few summers, a lot of challenges for the competition. So this is really such an important summer for the future of the Big Bash. They held a great launch event in Sydney, and they got a lot of cricketers diving, taking catches from a sort of high platform onto a sort of bouncy castle type thing. So I've put some vision of that up on our socials. But I also got to chat with England international Sam Billings and also the Big Bash general manager Alistair Dobson, and I got to ask them about a few issues. I mean, a lot of news around the Big Bash. Faf du Plessis has been signed by the Scorchers, replacing Laurie Evans. But on the eve of the tournament, we've lost Mitch Marsh on top of Glenn Maxwell, in top of the overseas players that have left, so they've decided not to come out. So, yeah, it's a lot of challenges ahead for the organisers and for the competition itself. And I started by talking to Alistair Dobson, the general manager, about the WBBL and then the BBL. Alrighty, so I'm with Alistair Dobson, chairman of the BBLs, is that right?
CEO, general manager
yeah, of both BBLs. So I just wanted to start off with the WBBL.
Yep.
We've just seen another fantastic tournament, and you know, it was wonderful. But I think, you know, I've been having some thoughts around the challenges that are going to come for that tournament, and maybe quicker than maybe even I did envisage, you know, with other competitions springing up around the world. You know, what are your thoughts with sort of those challenges emerging?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's widely accepted and acknowledged that the WBBL is the best cricket league in the world for women, the strongest competition, best players have always played and love playing. I think that said, the WBBL has been a big part of the growth of the women's game globally, and now it's great to see other competitions emerging, whether that's the 100 or the discussion around the women's IPL and similar leagues. From our perspective, that just creates good motivation and incentive for the WBBL to keep improving. We spent a lot of time this season with our players just to understand from their perspective what's important to them after a couple of years of not really being able to connect as well as we'd like. And they're super passionate about the future of the league. They're telling us what the shape of their annual calendar is changing as well, with more competitions around the world and more cricket. So from our perspective, it's about making sure we do whatever we have to stay number one.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I guess surprised me was how quickly the BBL was maybe overtaken, or at least the competition came from the other leagues. So I think, you know, it could happen with the WBBL that the landscape changes really fast.
Yeah, it is, and it is changing fast. I think those other competitions emerging is happening pretty quick. I think we're coming from a position of strength in terms of the interest and the commitment of players to play. We don't see it as a threat by any means. It's actually really good for the WBBL to be at the front of such a growth part of the game. And so, yeah, it is evolving really quickly, but we're really really confident of our position and, as I said, see it as motivation and incentive to keep improving.
And how committed to you to the time slot of sort of that October, November for the WBBL? Any thought to going back to a model where it's played, you know, like double headers like they're doing in the 100 at the moment?
Yeah, no, we really like where it is. We think it suits the competition. It suits the shape of the cricket season in Australia. I think the opportunity to play it as a standalone gives us much more opportunity to play prime time cricket in front of big audiences. I think the shape of the global international calendar means October, November is a place in the calendar where we can have the best players play. It's clear of international cricket. If you're looking at other parts, whether it's January or even into December, increasingly there's bilateral international cricket happening. So, and we think we've found the right spot, particularly in the month of November, for the competition. And our focus is growing within that rather than sort of any other option there.
Yeah, I really like it in its own time slot because as me, I like to watch every game of WBBL or BBL, and you physically couldn't do it when they were being played at the same time. So this actually gives you a really good sort of 4 months of, you know, 20 over domestic cricket.
Yeah, and the WBBL absolutely deserves to be in its own time slot. I think talking about double headers or playing alongside the men's Big Bash, I think the WBBL rightly deserves its own spot. From our club's perspective, absolutely, the opportunity to have their clubs in the market for 4 months rather than two gives opportunity for their fans to connect more often, opportunities for their partners, and a whole range of things. So it's not just about where the WBBL or the BBL are situated. It's this whole summer of Big Bash from October right through to the end of January. So we think it's the right shape.
Yeah, excellent. And on the summer coming for the men's BBL, obviously, you know, I think that it's a really challenging summer, you know, because your first sort of normal, you know, BBL season in a while. So I guess very important for the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the opportunity for the teams to travel freely around the country, get back in front of what we hope are big crowds, and as I said earlier, connect with kids and fans around the country is huge. I think we're all waiting to see how that plays out. We've seen lots of big events and other sporting codes get big crowds back to their league. So you know we're optimistic that we'll be the same. And we've got a great schedule, great movement of teams around the country, and ultimately really strong lists. So we think we're in the shape for the best season we've had in a long time.
And I guess on the list, you know, a lot of, you know, star international players have signed on. A lot of them are sort of, you know, for the first half of the competition. How important is that to sort of setting the table for the whole competition?
Yeah, I think the season's shaped up really nicely where we've got a window at the start of the season where a lot of the biggest name overseas players can play. And then, nicely that as they start to leave, we have the end of the test series in Australia, which means a lot of the big name Australian players can come back and play. So it's worked out well for us. I think we've got good shape within our lists. I know the clubs are really, really happy with how that played out. And look, maintaining, you know, a competitive place on the global cricket landscape is a really important focus for us. Whether that's recruiting overseas players to play and the biggest names possible, as well as making sure we create windows in the schedule for the biggest name local stars to play. And we've got a really good mix this season, so we think we're in good shape.
Yeah, I love it. Now, last one, I mean, it's a two-parter. You know, I'm not a fan of the power surge because I think it's confusing for fans that you can't just say these are the overs when fielding your restrictions. You know, if you're sitting in the crowd, you don't really know why all of a sudden the field's in. Did you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I think it's always on us to make sure the game is as simple and understood by fans as possible. I think overall we're really happy with the way the power surge has been, I guess, adopted in both competitions, the WBBL in the most recent season, and clearly making sure it's understood is important. I think it's added great strategy and interest. It's been able to have an impact in games where we've seen games go down to the wire to a degree due to the power surge. And I think, you know, talking to the players, they really love the strategy and the thinking around it. So ultimately, it's still 20 versus 20 in terms of overs, and, you know, bat versus ball. So it's a strategic innovation that we think has really worked, and you know, it's obviously on us to keep making sure it's really clear to how it works.
It's a bit of a wild card, and do you take applications for the BBL advisory committee from podcast hosts?
we're always open to feedback. I think I'm not sure there's anything in Australian sport that generates quite as much opinion and theories as the BBL. We get lots of feedback on a whole range of things, so always open to ideas.
Yeah, great. Well, I'll send in my application. Thanks, Alistair. One thing I will say about both WBBL and BBL, and say this to all the listeners, when you leave a game, you always feel better than when you went in. So I encourage everyone to get out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, our theme this year is come alive, and you know, we think that it perfectly encapsulates the BBL, to be able to get to a game. lots of great crickets, hopefully some amazing action, plenty of music and fun times with family and friends is really what the BBL is all about.
Great. Thanks, Alistair. Good luck.
Anytime. No worries. Thanks.
Thanks very much to Alistair Dobson for chatting to me. And then I got some time with England international Sam Billings, who's playing for the Brisbane Heat. I also got to talk about his test aspirations next summer, as Australia will be in England for the Ashes. So here is Brisbane Heat's Sam Billings. Right, I'm here with England international Sam Billings, who's suiting up for the Brisbane Heat, this Big Bash. You must be thrilled to be making another appearance in the Big Bash.
Yeah, I love it. What a tournament it is over here. And a summer down under compared to a winter at home is something I always jump at. So love being a part of this competition. And like I said, new challenge up at Brisbane.
Yeah, and you know, how important do you see it for the development of your game, you know, playing in these competitions around the world?
It's huge. I've done it for a long time now, which I'm hugely grateful for, but it accelerates everyone's games so much and prepares you perfectly for international cricket. Ultimately, it exposes you to all the different conditions around the world, for World Cups, for international series. So it certainly helped my game hugely. Picking up as well, getting coached by some of the best players in the world, playing alongside some of the best players in the world as well. So, yeah, it's impossible not to learn. And it's a really kind of rapid rise in terms of that learning. So, love being back out here, like I said.
And it seemed to make a difference in the T20 World Cup win for the England side. You know, a lot of the players had played on the grounds and just knew sort of the way it all worked.
Yeah, 100%. It definitely does help. Hence why I think the IPL has been huge for English cricket in terms of being exposed to Indian conditions. The ball turning has really improved everyone's game against spin and the different challenges, because they are so different to, well, Australia and England, of course. So it really, it definitely does prepare you better for tournaments. And like I said, with the the last 8 years, it's really been a shift in mindset from an English cricket point of view, and that's been encouraged by all the different franchise tournaments around the world, for sure.
Do you think it's, you know, the encouragement to play in the overseas leagues by the ECBs, you know, it really helps players, you know, playing in those really ultra competitive competitions, you know, the IPL, the Big Bash?
Without a doubt. It's the closest cricket to international cricket and a World Cup, really. I think, yeah, the depth that we've had in white ball cricket from an English point of view has been phenomenal, and that has also been accelerated by the exposure for all the different players. So, the ECB have done a brilliant job in terms of encouraging us to go overseas. And it's also very different pressure as well. As an overseas player, you're being paid a lot of money to come in and perform. You know, you're not going to get as much rope as necessarily like a young local lad who's come through the system locally. So it's a very different pressure to get your head around to perform consistently. So again, another set of skills that you acquire through these opportunities.
Yeah, it reminds me of like overseas pros going to England from Australia and playing in, you know, the leagues over there, you know, doing an expectation to perform every game. And, you know, that does wonders for your performance when you sort of learn to deal with that pressure.
Yeah, it does. You're not guaranteed, obviously, to perform every time, but that mindset, that group of skills that you develop, it does hold you in really good stead, especially the IPL. I mean, the IPL as a franchise tournament is probably leading the way in the world simply because you've got 1.2 billion people watching cricket every single day. So that was probably kind of late to the party, the IPL, but it's really stormed to the front and aided everyone's else's development around the world.
Do you have an IPL contract for next summer?
So I was with KKR and I'm decided not to go back to the IPL this year. Played 6 years over there now, and I'm taking the time to focus. Obviously, it cuts across the English summer, so I'm going to really give myself the best chance of being involved in the Ashes at home next year. So I'll be playing longer format cricket. I've got 2020, obviously, in the Big Bash, and then the UAE League in January and February, and then Test stuff moving forward into the English summer. So that's kind of my focus and how I've tried to organise my schedule. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges as a player now, trying to balance your schedule so you can kind of, if you really do want to play all formats, it's getting trickier and trickier. So it might be the last time I get a chance at 31 to be involved in a home Ashes series. So I want to just give myself the best chance to do that.
Yeah, and the way England's playing their Test cricket, playing T20 cricket might be the perfect preparation for, you know, the new Bazball.
Yeah, he hates that term.
I know. Everyone's going to keep saying it as Stokes ball. We've got to come up with a new word.
I think it's just playing good, entertaining cricket. And also, you've got a group of players there that have bought into the mindset and the collective direction into, you know, really taking the game on and providing entertainment. We're in the entertainment business at the end of the day, and we want to inspire the next generation of kids to play Test cricket alongside the other formats of the game. That's the great thing with cricket is you've got three phenomenal formats that offer so many different things, and you've got to cherish each one and just try and inspire the next generation.
What was it like when you looked at the scorecard the other day and saw England had scored 500 on the first day of a Test?
Honestly, I thought I'd missed out on a flat pitch there. it was amazing. I watched the highlights, and one of my great mates is Zach Crawley. So to see him go well is extra special. So great to see him back in the runs. But the entertainment, everyone here has said it to me. It's been the nicest reception, I think, by a group of Australians ever for an Englishman.
I'd like to see them try and do it against Stark, Hazelwood and Cummins next summer.
Yeah, we'll give it a good go. Don't worry about that.
It'll be good fun.
They're probably the best pace attack in the world. There's no getting around that. And in England as well, it's going to be tough. But it's also tough when people are coming at you consistently. And in the past, certainly in white ball cricket, that ethos, that mindset that we've had has stood us in good stead. So it's going to be box office watching. I mean, you don't really need a reason not to watch the Ashes anyway, but I think this one will be extra special.
Can't wait. Sam, best of luck for the Big Bash and what's to come.
Thank you.
Great to talk to Sam Billings. I was commentating on a game where he played for Penrith last week and scored a quick fire 70 off 37 balls, smashing balls all over Penrith. He's in good form going into the Big Bash. It's his third franchise after playing for both Sydney clubs. He loves it out here, as he just said. My report from the Big Bash launch. Paul and I will be together with Dan Liebke from Can't Bowl, Can't Throw this week to do a full episode of the show. But you heard me. I've applied for a position in the Big Bash Advisory Committee. I'm not happy with the power surge. So it's all happening.
on Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.